Okay, I'm going to be talking to you guys about growth. So you just had this spiritual experience last night. And, you know, you see these gifts. You maybe you don't know that you did, but believe me, I had this experience. And I was like, Father Becky is doing it. And I'm sure he was here last night. And I said, Lord, keep that energy. Don't want to touch you. I don't want him to pray over me. And he didn't. He didn't. But I can tell you, the Holy Spirit was still in the room. I was still blessed, even though I was not directed to pray over. I felt the most peaceful I had ever felt my entire life. And everything is happening to work through. So I was falling down, crying, ran into the pen, and that experience everything. So I'm going to talk about how you can grow from this experience, and especially from your confirmation. What is your confirmation, by the way? On Pentecost. Very, very cool. Okay, but first, I just want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit for a second. I know you've probably heard a lot about the Holy Spirit, but have you heard that in the Trinity, right, it's really hard to explain the Trinity, its mystery, etc., but the best we can really do so far is you can ask God the Father. He's loving Jesus, right? Jesus over here, God's over here, not but okay. Jesus over here, God's over here, and the Father, well, there's a verse I said. The Father's sitting here loving Jesus, right? And Jesus is sitting here loving the Father. And the love between them, that is produced from them, is the Holy Spirit. And I recently discovered that one of the Father's main gifts to Jesus was creation. Was the whole of creation, was us. And so Jesus took that gift, died on the cross for us, and gave it right back to the Father because we were problem. So here we are in the midst of that love. We are going back and forth, and I found this out your study. But I want to read something to you from John chapter 18. This is when Jesus is praying in the garden against Gethsemane before he dies, and he's praying for all of us. He's praying for his followers. He even prays for those of us, for those who will believe in me through their word. So I'm going to skip to verse 22, and I think I'm just going to read straight to 26 because I really like this part. And I have given them the glory you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be brought to perfection as one, that the world may know that you sent me, and that you love them, even as you love me. Father, they are your gift to me. I wish that where I am, they also may be with me, that they may see my glory that you gave me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world also does not know you, but I know you, and they know that you sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will make it known, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. So I just think that's really cool. The love with which the Father loved Jesus, the Holy Spirit. And here in this, here, right here, Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus' last prayer that we heard, that we know of, here it is. I pray that they have that. That they have this love, this extreme love. And here he says, they are your gift to me. So here we are caught in this love of the Father and the Son, right? The Holy Spirit is love. We're sitting here, caught in this. And that's a big deal, and I think most people don't realize that that's where we are. This is huge. This is a huge, so I want to express this to you so that you have the desire to grow in the Spirit. Because if you don't have that desire, whatever I say next is completely worthless. Maybe if you don't, you know, they say the first step is admitting, and like AA and stuff. So the first step is admitting that, hey, here's how special I am. Here's how important I am to God. I'm the Father's gift to Jesus. And Jesus is getting back to the Father, and this love, the Holy Spirit, and I'm somewhere right here. I'm somewhere really, really special. So I wanted you to be open to want to grow in this love. So, okay. All right, so that's just a little bit to begin. All set up here. All right. So, a lot of ways that we can grow in the Spirit. But there are like five that we outlined specifically we want to be talking about. We're going to talk about this. Okay. So, prayer, scripture, study, community, the sacraments, and service. So, first I'm going to start with prayer. Prayer is super important. I'm sure people told you that in your life. I don't know what your own relationship with God is and how your prayer life is, but I can tell you that, you know, prayer is a way we communicate with God. It's the way we speak to Him. If you're going to have, I don't know, whoever your best friend is, maybe your best friend, think of not speaking to that person and how your relationship is with God. It's going to be bad. It's going to be bad relationship. And our desire here is to grow in the Spirit, to grow closer to God. So, if you want to grow closer to God, you talk to Him. And let Him talk to you. That's super important. God talks to us in a lot of different ways. But it's really, really important to listen to Him because you don't have one side of the conversation with Him. Maybe somebody doesn't want you to get a word in edgewise. So, prayer. So there are tons of different ways to pray. You know, you can say your set prayers, which is really one of the I thought of more than Lord would be all those. Those are fabulous. And I actually, this past week, we discovered how fabulous those are. I was on a service trip, and we did prayer every day. Now, I try to pray every day, and I do pray every day. But you know how you have those times in your life where you slack off? Things in general. Prayer is one of those things. You slack off here, you know, you're like, oh, I'm just praying as much as I should be praying. You know, I wasn't setting aside a specific time to pray. I went on a service trip, and it turned out to be a super spiritual trip as well. We did morning and night prayer, which is part of the liturgy of the hours. We did that every day. We had mass every day. We prayed a rosary every day. And every time we got in a car, we said the Hail Mary before we started our journey, even if it was like a, I don't know, 5 minute drive. We said Hail Mary, and we asked the saints for their protection and for their prayers. That was every day for a week. And I can't tell you how much I realized, wow, how powerful it is to be in touch with God throughout the day. Because I was one of those people, oh, okay, morning prayer, sure, I'll pray in the morning, pray in the evening, you know, I have my meal prayers. But as far as, like, thinking of God, basically all the time, like every hour we would get in the car, and you would lift your heart and your mind to God, even for a couple of seconds, it makes such a difference in your day. Huge. I was super positive. I'm generally a positive person, but on the inside, I was super positive, not just on the outside. And it was incredible. So these were the set prayers we're doing, but throughout college, I've been to do kind of like, is it called inspirational prayer? What's the word I'm looking for? Yeah, inspirational prayer. Okay, cool. So, you know, as we kind of just sit down, you kind of try to empty your mind a little bit, try to empty your heart, not empty your heart, fill it with Jesus, but empty it of yourself. Pray about whatever's on your heart, whatever God tells you, you know, you talk to about, or whatever He wants to talk to you about. And that's also super, super important. And then there's the Mass, which is the greatest prayer that we pray. We have Jesus present in the Eucharist, at the Mass, and for your growth in the Spirit, I mean, receiving Jesus is humongous. The Catechism calls the Eucharist the source and summit of our faith. And, you know, I mean, why wouldn't we receive God? We have that opportunity all every day. And so that's super important for you to grow in that Spirit, to receive Him yet again. Receive Jesus, receive God in the Eucharist. Okay, so that's prayer. The next one I'm going to talk about is scripture. When I was your age, I thought I knew scriptures. Every 3 years, we go through pretty much the majority of the Bible. Just if you're going to Mass, you're reading daily Mass scriptures as well. Go through pretty much the whole Bible. It's like your age. And I was like, oh, I've heard that Bible story before. And I'll be in Mass praying. The readings are going on. I'm like, oh, this story, woman at the well. Got this one. Already know it. I can think about something else. But actually, once you have your confirmation, which is sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit, oh, I pray to God that that's not the way you think anymore. Because scriptures are divinely inspired. So God can teach you freedom every time. Every time. I can't tell you how many times I read the last discourses of Jesus in John, like 13 through 17. Can't tell you how many times I read those. Get something new out of it every time. It's incredible. Absolutely incredible. We had this scripture study this year. We have our campus minister at the VBU in Stephenville. I don't know if you guys have heard of Stephenville. It's a super Catholic college in Ohio. And he graduated with a degree in theology. So he pretty much knows his stuff. And we did the Gospel of John, actually, at our scripture study. Blew my mind every time I went. So many parallelisms, you know, throughout the coming into Genesis, going back to John. It was like, just incredible. So there's something new you can get out of scripture. And with the Holy Spirit's guidance, you will. And it won't. It might not necessarily be something someone else is learning at the same time more, because God knows where you're at and you're doing the journey. So I encourage you to listen to what he's telling you through scripture, where you're at your life, because this guy constantly changed in the same verse 18,000 times and get 18,000 different understandings out of it. I'm not saying going to church teaching anything, I'm just saying for your own personal understanding of what God's calling you at that time. It's a really powerful study. Just because you're having your conversation without me, your conversation is over, or that, I mean, sure, you're an adult in the church, but there's so much more to learn. So much more to learn in your faith, and I hope that you study it, and, you know, read some saints books. I'm with a community of people right now who've read Story of the Soul by Therese, the Little Flower. They are reading Padre Pio, they're reading Thomas Merton, they're reading, what else are they reading? I think we just did a devotional to Mary, a consecration to Jesus through Mary recently. I mean, there are so many ways to grow in your faith, and I encourage you to read these names because, you know, we're all these names are all probably more than Jesus. And these people have made it, this is what they talk about, this is what they've written. That's a way you can study Catechism. I think when I was confirmed, I started reading Catechism. Tons of stuff. We learned, especially in high school, you're going to be confronted, especially, with people who don't, you know, who don't see things, or maybe who aren't Catholic, who you question. They're like, oh, hey, maybe they're not thinking about it. They want to know how you do something. It's really important that you know. And if you don't know, hey, I don't know right now, but I'll look it up. So, study. Really study your faith. I mean, this is what we've got here. And, we want other people to know that you believe it's true. We want other people to know it's true as well. So you want to study to be able to explain it to them, you know, so that they can have this joy and this love that God's calling them. So study is super important as well. Next, community. Community, oh my goodness. I think having people who, okay, people who surround you are going to affect you. Whether or not you realize it, they affect you, and they are influencing how you think. And when you don't realize it, that's when it's most influential. You're not thinking about it. Whether that be a good influence or a bad influence. So the community, the group of people you choose to be around, your friends, is huge. And I'm not saying all you have to be Catholic, I'm saying all you have to be Christian, I'm not saying that at all. But you do need a Christian Catholic-based group to teach and grow in the spirits. So you can grow in your faith and learn from one another and push one another. Like I said, my community at the VBU is doing liturgy hours, like I mentioned that. You make sure I'm morning prayer. They have books, they have the shorter Christian prayer books. They rip them out. And I'm like, oh, I feel like such a bad Catholic. I don't own that book yet. Maybe I should, I mean, I'm not. But I feel like they're pushing to grow in my spiritual life, in my prayer life. And, you know, we talk about deep spiritual things. We don't have conversations you might have with some of your other friends. And you know one another. You really get to know people if they have the same faith as you, because we can talk about things most important. And if your faith is one of the most important things in your life, that's something you want to share and talk about often. And it will also affect the way you look at the rest of things in life. So it was important for me, and I think it would be really to have people who can see things from that point of view, who can help you grow in that way. You need to surround yourself with positive influences and people that push you and help you grow and want you to grow. And doing this all out of love, of course, love for you, love for God, loving you because they love God. So your community is huge. Sacraments, I already talked about communion. If you believe Jesus is present in communion, I know you see them. Those that believe that's God. So if you want to grow in the Holy Spirit, you want to grow in that, you want to grow in the Spirit, receive communion. Getting ready to have your confirmation. Yay. I mean, that's awesome. I did not have a life in the Spirit type of experience. My experience was in Antioch. Was my freshman year of college? No, sophomore year of college. And I was confirmed in ninth grade. So I was confirmed way before I had this moment. So it's really cool that you guys got to have this baptism, at least have this presence and this peace before the confirmation comes. So I can imagine what your confirmation is like, but you're gonna be sealed with these gifts, whatever gifts you have, whatever gifts God wants to give you, you're gonna be sealed around them. That's gonna be awesome. Penance, reconciliation. I mean, I know people don't like to go to confession and they don't like to say all the things they've done wrong, but if you want a good relationship with somebody, it's important to be honest. I'm a big believer in honesty, all types of things. And a lot of times, because we are grown, we screw up and we mess up our relationship. So, going to God, that's the most important thing you can have. Going to Him and telling Him, listen, yeah, I screwed up. I made mistakes, I'm really sorry, I'm gonna try to be better. My quality and better, try to be better. It's important to do that through confession. Okay, the next one is service. And, like I said, this has been big for me. When God loves you so much and you understand that God loves you, you want to share that with other people. And the biggest way to do that is you're serving other people. You can tell your mom and dad, hey mom and dad, I love you, but then you like back talk them, and you might yell at them and get in arguments and then talk to them, or when they tell you to clean your room or something, you completely disregard their authority and their respect that they're only going to bring into the world. That I love you really doesn't mean a whole lot if you just say it. It's important that you show it. So the service thing, I love everyone. Well, show it. That's great if you love everyone, but show it. Go give that love of God to other people. Love other people because God loves you. So I already talked about I'm going to be with the Good Shepherd Volunteers for a year. I just went on a service trip, which was an interesting service trip because I like working with people directly. We didn't do that. We worked actually for priests who work with people. So they don't have enough time really to do their own type of thing, keep up their own, parish halls or, the streets around their house or their yard work because they're constantly giving. So we help them out, so that they can do their own street in that way. And, that was great. Now I want to talk to you guys about how you serve, and that's with the talents that I see in you. And, it's really important to sit down and think about what those talents are, what those gifts are, those charisms, or those actual, those usable, daily life career tasks that you might have. I didn't do that, and I just graduated. I don't know what to do. Sit down and think about what gifts God has given you, and Jesus gave his gifts to God, what God has given him, he gave back. And he, here you go, here's my life. Here's this group of people that, you created and you wanted to love you and you fell, I'm giving them back to you. So, that was the promise that he gave you back. It's really important that whatever God's given you, whatever gifts the Holy Spirit has blessed you with, maybe today maybe tomorrow, maybe your fast, maybe the Holy Spirit is going to give you gifts other times. It's really important. Can you think about what goes on? And you give them back to God, because, you know, that's what you need. Take your talents, to use and love other people, to give back to Him. I have a verse. Oh! I'll read this to you. Okay. And this is just what we've done. This is from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. For this reason, I remind you to stir into flame the gift of God you have through the imposition of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather of power and love and self-control. So do not be ashamed of your testimony to our Lord, nor of me, a prisoner for his sake, but bear your share of hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God. And so that's what we just did. We had another imposition. We're going to have an imposition of hands for confirmation. And here Paul is exhorting him to stir that in flame, and that's what this was. This was a stirring of flame, a stirring of spirit, stirring up those gifts, stirring up those charisms, stirring up those talents. You know, maybe you have a talent for writing, or a talent for singing, or a talent for listening to people. And you can use those so many different ways to serve other people and thereby serve them now. And that's really important. You can look into those. And another Bible verse that I want to read to you. John chapter 15, verse 8. And we just talked about the branches and the vine. What was the name of the song? He is the vine. Okay. And here it is. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me you can do nothing. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. So you need to bear this fruit that we can get here at baptism, the little thing that comes to you, bear this fruit out in your life. But wait, be good at doing that. It's three times. Thank you for taking me out of time. Sit down and think about it. Pray about it. And then there are a couple things I want to hit on that I didn't talk about yet. And that is, so we remember in the Bible, Jesus, when he was baptized by John the Baptist, he was baptized, and he was good. Oh, then here came the Holy Spirit and descended upon him like a dove. Do you remember what the Holy Spirit had him do immediately? He drove him into the desert, and that's where he was tested and tempted by Satan. So when I think about a very powerful spiritual experience, oftentimes right after you have one, you'll be tested, hardcore, or tempted. And I encourage you to rely on Jesus, rely on the gifts you can get by the Holy Spirit. Because the Father will never give you something that you can't handle, or it's something that he can't handle for you. So even if you think about this time here or your confirmation, yeah, I don't think I have gifts. Yeah, I didn't see that thing. Yeah, that didn't apply. That was kind of fake, didn't really happen. That's a big temptation that the devil tries to do on us. The devil tells us things don't feel it. You know, that God's love for us is real and that he doesn't show his love in this way, but that's not true. And so I just want to tell you that I think there's a lot of things that I wanted to tell you. And it might have just been that even if you don't think you see anything, you know, today or maybe later your baptism, you think, I really just need to get some of your confirmation. I don't just believe it. God sealed you with anything. That's not true. And that too is a thing that is a good thing that the devil kind of brings to life. Because the last thing he wants is for you to use productivity, right? Because he doesn't want that. So he's going to try to manipulate you and make you make things, but just trust that this really did happen and that this is true, and have a desire. I encourage you to try to cultivate a desire to grow in this. In this love that Christ has for you, through service, through sacraments, through prayer, community, and that's all I have to say.